Happy Easter. You know, it sounds silly to some of us to hear Happy Easter today. You might be thinking, does he remember Easter was last week? But Easter for us is a season. We are in the midst of the Easter season. Easter isn't just something that happened. It's something that's happening. And as the Christian church, each and every Sunday is a resurrection celebration. We are Easter people, not just folks who remember that there was an Easter, but people who believe that we are living in an Easter. Resurrection isn't just something that happened, it's something that is happening. We're reading from Revelation today. We don't hear from Revelation very often. And wonder of wonders, it comes up once every 3 years in the lectionary, 7 weeks in a row. Seven is a very important number in the book of Revelation. So I thought we'd go ahead and I would preach from Revelation for the next 7 weeks. So put on your helmets, fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. Well, I mentioned that because I want to talk a little bit about what John was up to as he was sharing the revelation that he got from and about Jesus Christ. John was revealed, or it was revealed to John, what had happened in the world through Jesus Christ, and what was happening and what would and should continue happening in the world through Jesus Christ. In the text for today, one of the things that we hear is that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. The Greek for firstborn, this prototokos, doesn't just mean that he's the only one who was raised from the dead, but he is the first of more to come. He's the first one, but doesn't necessarily have to be the only one. So in my family, I'm the oldest kid. I'm the prototokos in my family. But that's hard to say, so we just say I'm the oldest. If you have younger siblings and you were the first one born in your generation, you are the prototokos in your family. Jesus is our prototokos, the firstborn from the dead. What does that mean? It means that he is risen. And it means that God will continue to bring newness of life and resurrection, not only to Jesus, but also to others. People during Jesus' time were hoping and praying and had deep faith in a general resurrection, that we would have God's power moving through the earth and moving through the universe in such a way that even the dead would be raised, that death could not contain the power of God. That's an Easter message. No wonder the Revised Common Lectionary has chosen this text from Revelation for today. Christ, the firstborn from the dead. And we're told some other things about him as well, that he is the first and the last and the living one. We're told that he is the one who is, who was. And it says in the NRSV, is to come. In fact, it says in lots of our English translations, is to come. But erkomenos is a participle in Greek, and we don't need to get into all that, but the best way to translate that is, he's coming. He's not gonna come. He's not fixing to come. He's not thinking about coming. He is coming. Erkomenos, he is coming. The one who is coming, who is in the midst of coming into the world. We celebrate the firstborn, and we know that we participate in resurrection. We say that he is the one who was, who is coming, and we realize that we are called to participate in that coming into the world. We're called to recognize it. Because here's the thing. Revelation talks about Jesus using the trope of war. A lot through Revelation, we hear warlike imagery. And basically, what was revealed to John is that in the death and resurrection of Jesus, a battle had been fought, a cosmic battle. It even has dragons and angels and such. A battle that Jesus won. Not a battle that he's going to win. A battle that Jesus won. We're told in Revelation that Jesus was victorious, that he conquered. But here's the thing about battles that get won. They can sometimes be confusing because sometimes we're told that battles have been won, but we're not sure what the deal is. I'll give you some examples. My mother is a member of the DAR, the Daughters of the American Revolution. And that means that we have an ancestor or more who fought in the American Revolution. And I learned in middle school that those were battles, most of which were already won. That the American Revolution was fought, and that war was won by the burgeoning new United States of America. And I was also taught that one of the principles of the winning of that war was that all men were created equal, and that some can't lord it over others. And so I grew up having heard that that war was won, and I was told my family actually participated in it. And then I looked around and realized that all people weren't being treated equal, and some people were still lording it over one another. And I scratched my head, and I wonder, what does that mean? Maybe that war wasn't won. Maybe George Washington and his cohort did not conquer. So I've lived with that for years, wondering, well, what does that mean? Well, I have an ancestor who died in a battle of the Civil War. He was in the Union Army, and he died at Hawes Shop, Virginia, in 1864. He was in the Union Cavalry. His name was Seth Pierce Carey. Our family, I think I've shared before, has letters from Seth sent home to his wife before he died about mundane things like the farm and the cows and the chickens, and about serious things about the Lamb of God, about his faith, and about his love for his wife. Well, he died in the Civil War, but in middle school I was told that the Union won the Civil War, and I knew that my ancestor died in the Civil War. And I was told that the Civil War was about the fact that all men were created equal, and some men couldn't own other men and couldn't lord it over others. And then I look around and I see that there's this idea of white supremacy that keeps creeping up and lashing out. And I wonder if that battle was won. I scratch my head and I wonder about that. My great uncle, Frank McClenahan, fought in World War II. He retired from the Army years later as a colonel. But during World War II, I have some pictures of him with his sister, my grandmother. There they are, as you can imagine, at a nightclub, and he's looking dashing in his Army uniform, and she's got pearls and her dress that I'm sure swung around as they danced together to big band music. And what Uncle Frank used to tell me is that they won the war. And they fought against Nazism, which was this idea that one group of people was better than others and that they could control a government, and that war was fought so that that wouldn't happen anymore. And yet, I look around and I see that those kinds of things still happen. And I wonder, did we win the war? And I scratch my head. And I seem concerned. It's no wonder. It's no wonder. We talk about Easter as something that happened, but we're not sure if it's done. And we translate in Revelation that Christ is to come because we're not sure that he's in the midst of coming into the world at all, because it looks as if perhaps the battle wasn't decisively won. Just like that Revolutionary War battle in which my ancestors participated, in that Civil War battle in which my ancestors participated, in that World War II battle in which my ancestors participated. You may know that a couple of years ago I was in Charlottesville, Virginia, on a day when all of those very things that I was told in middle school were defeated came out of the woodwork and marched through the streets. I was even belted in the head with a Nazi flag. I thought my uncle won that war. Paraded in front of me were people wearing Ku Klux Klan insignia. I thought my ancestor, Seth Pierce Carey, won that war. There were people marching up and down talking about Jews will not replace us and white power. I thought my ancestor, I read about in my mom's DAR documents, won that war. And yet the battles still continue. That's how it is with resurrection. Yes, John tells us in Revelation, Jesus is to Protakos. And yes, God is the one who is Ho'on, who is being, who was Ho'ein, who was being, who is coming, Erkamenos, into the world. And we are those who are asked to believe that, to live that, and to persevere in the midst of a world where there are still battles to be won. God's sovereignty means that all people are loved by God. God's sovereignty means that life wins out over death. God's sovereignty means that love rules the earth. We're also told here in the beginning of Revelation that Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And yet, the forces that would oppose life, the forces of death, seem to be about in our world today. And yet, the forces that oppose love, the forces of fear and hatred, seem to be alive and well in the world today. And yet, the forces that oppose God's sovereignty, forces that say some human being or group of human beings reign supreme and are better than others, seem to be alive and well in the world today. And we are asked this day, if Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, if we are an Easter people, what will it mean for us to live that Easter message? Each of the Gospels in their final forms tells us about what the early church did with the Easter message, how they believed they were called to live the Easter message. And in each gospel, in one way or another, and in the book of Acts and in the writings of Paul and those who followed Paul, what we find is this, that even though the post-resurrection church knew that they lived in a world where the battles seemed to be decisively won, but that the skirmishes weren't over yet, they proclaimed that somehow, some way, the Spirit of the living Christ, moving through the church as the Holy Spirit, was making a difference in the world, that God's power was being enacted through the life of the church. So they were really making two resurrection claims. They were saying, yes, Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. He is risen. Hallelujah. And through us and the power of the Holy Spirit, resurrection continues. Those claims go hand in hand. You really can't have one fully without the other. We say he is risen on Easter. We don't say he was risen. Perhaps because it's bad grammar, but also because we want to say that there is a continuous reality that Christ's resurrection entails. It's not about something only that happened, it's about something that is happening. And some days that's hard. Some days we say to ourselves, well, I know the resurrection, I believe in the resurrection, I've accepted the resurrection, but I just don't know what's going on. Things don't seem to be resurrect-y out there. If you know what I mean. I'm taking it all in. I'm believing it all. The world's looking pretty rough out there. Just like the people who I heard lost the Battle of Independence, those who were against all people being equal, I was told in history they lost. People who lost the Civil War, those who were against African Americans being freed, I was told they lost. In the Second World War, those people who believed that they could control others and be one master race, I was told that they lost, and yet I see that some people didn't get the memo. Church, some people have not gotten the resurrection memo. Some people haven't heard that death has been defeated. Some people haven't heard that love reigns supreme. Some people haven't heard that Jesus is Lord of all, which means that God loves and cares for all people. And so they shoot up synagogues, and they bomb mosques, and they burn churches, and they kill other human beings. And they don't honor the planet. If we are truly resurrection people, if Jesus is truly the prototokos, the firstborn from the dead, we are called to participate in resurrection, to believe it, to share it, to do it. Who thought that Ella, Susan Burney's dog, was cute today? Wow. Yeah, I've gotten to visit the Burney household several times since they've gotten Ella, and she's playful, and she's fun, and she's cute, and she's fantastic. And the thing is, she has a lifetime of work ahead of her. As a therapy dog, as Susan shared with us, she's being trained so that she can live a life of being able to interact with people. And she's going to have to listen. She's going to have to learn. And every day of her training and every day of her work is going to be very important. You see, we can't just say she is a therapy dog and then that's the end of that. If that were true, I could go home to my floppy-eared, four-legged dog and slap therapy dog around her neck. But we all know that's not going to happen, right, Susan? Our dog does provide therapy for us, and sometimes we feel like we have to have therapy because of dealing with our dog, because what has to happen is we have to be trained. We have to change our lives. We have to do something. It has to continue on. Living the resurrection is like that. We have to listen. We have to learn. We have to participate. This morning, someone mentioned to me that we think we've closed down the boiler for the year and haven't started air conditioning for the year. What that means is that there may be a few days when it's still cold outside, but we're not heating yet. Or it's pretty warm outside, and we have to decide whether to air condition. But in my house, that means it's open window season. I love the power bills around April and May, right? They really go down. But here's the thing about open window season. I don't do it very well. I don't think it through very well, and Susan has to help me. So at nighttime in open window season, here's what will happen. Susan will say, well, it's cool and breezy outside, and I'll say, great, and we'll open the window in our bedroom, and then I'll close the door in our bedroom. And no air moves through because there's nothing that happens. You've got one open window and a closed door. And Susan will say, dummy, get up and open the door. And then I'll say, I don't want to, I'm already in bed. And back and forth, and then eventually one of us, though, will open the door so that the open window in the front of the house and the window that's open in our room will allow the air to move through the room. If you only open one window, if you only say, I believe in the resurrection, but you don't open the other window, I'm going to live the resurrection, that spirit's not going to move through your life. And people out there aren't going to get the memo that he is risen. There are people out there today who don't realize that the idea of liberty won the Revolutionary War. There are people out there today who don't realize that the idea of freedom for all God's children won the Civil War. There are people out there today that don't realize that the idea of the integrity of all people won World War II. Those were some big ideas. I know that there were many other things going on geopolitically, but those are the big ideas, and I was always told as a kid those ideas had won, and day by day we see that the battles and the skirmishes continue. The resurrection is the same way. If Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, if he is the prototokos, and we proclaim his resurrection, let us know not only that God gives life to those who have gone before us, not only that God gives love to those who labored in the fields prior to our laboring in them, but that God gives us life today. God gives us love today. And we must not only proclaim the resurrection, but we must live the resurrection. We must not only proclaim that the battle has been won, but we must live in the love and the life and the sovereignty of our God as we move forward day by day. We are an Easter people. Easter is not just one day. We celebrate a God who is, who was, and who is continuously coming into the world. The power of the Holy Spirit through the Church of Jesus Christ, so that we might share with the world that we and they are a people who live, a people who are loved now and always. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.